Welcome to the June issue of the Delta County Commissioner's Report. I'm Felix Belmont, and I'm joined by Allie Lightfoot, a program director of KVNF. We will not be talking with a county commissioner today. As we do occasionally, we will talk with the director of one of the departments in the Delta County government. It is our pleasure to have as our guest Ms. Elise Ackerman Castleberry, Director of Community Economic Development. Thank you, Elise, for taking time today to come into KVNF and confer with us.
My pleasure.
Unlike the Board of County Commissioners, there are several departments in the county government which do not get a lot of public exposure. So many citizens are not familiar with their functions. So I will start by asking you a couple of basic questions. What is the mission of the community economic development? What exactly do you do?
So as the community and economic development director, I manage the planning department. That would be the department within the county that people are probably most familiar with. That is the department that implements the county's master plan and oversees subdivision and specific development across the county. So if somebody wants to come to this county and start a business in unincorporated Delta County, they would start working in our office to get approvals to do that. And then if somebody has property that they want to subdivide to create additional lots, we are the department that they come to. Added to the responsibilities that I oversee, a little over a year ago, the commissioners decided that they wanted to take a stronger role in economic development within the county. And so they have charged me with overseeing the county's participation in economic development. And that means partnering with other organizations across the county and being a strong partner, including DSED, the school district, the hospital district, all of the municipalities, Region 10, and other organizations that are involved in economic development, and helping the commissioners determine policies and procedures that would impact economic development in the county. That's part of what I do.
Actually, you anticipated my next question, which was going to be, have you been involved in formulating the new county master plan, which is coming up for final approval, I believe, on June 11th. So perhaps you can, you've already said so, but you can go into a little more detail of how your group has been involved in and I dare say probably had a considerable influence on the final draft of the plan.
Yeah, so the master plan is created by the county's planning commission. The planning commission is a volunteer group of 9 people that are appointed by the county commissioners. They are the ones responsible for the master plan, but the planning department staffs that planning commission and provides all of the resource needs for that group. And so, yes, we oversaw, project managed the master plan update and were heavily involved and responsible for much of the process and some of the content. The Planning Commission certainly spent a lot of time working on developing the content of the master plan themselves, and it was our job to make sure that the things that they wanted to see in the document made it into the document. So they actually approved the master plan in May at their May 16th meeting, and June 11th. They will be certifying it, which is really the final stamp of approval that this is the official copy, and that official copy will be forwarded to the county commissioners.
Is your group unique to Delta County, or do other counties have a similar group? In other words, are you... do you derive your functions and so on from, say, a state statute or something, or are you sort of unique to our county?
We are not unique. We are statutorily required.
You're statutorily required.
Yeah, and when I say we, I mean the Planning Commission.
Yes, Commission, yes.
Statutorily required that the county have both a master plan and a Planning Commission. But it's up to the county commissioners how that planning commission is formed and what it looks like within some parameters that are established by state statute.
It was reported this week that there are plans to utilize the silt, the clay that accumulates behind the Paonia Dam, to manufacture brick, and a pilot plant utilizing methane gas, which is plentiful in the area, will be the source of the heat necessary in brick-making process. Is your department involved in this, or was it originally involved, or are you involved now in it?
Sort of. So that idea was born out of the coal methane working group, which the county has been an active participant and driver in. And since that idea has been brought forward by Chris and others that were participating in the coal methane working group, and the idea is definitely getting traction, our department is definitely a resource moving forward to help figure out some of the questions and help research and find solutions moving forward. One of the things that we've been heavily involved with is Engage, the Energy and Ag Entrepreneurship Program down at the Technical College. And we're looking at ways through that group that we can support the efforts to help further the conversation for that idea.
If you just joined us, this is the June issue of the Delta County Commissioner's Report. And our guest is Elise Ackerman Castleberry, who directs the Department of the Community Economic Development in Delta County. And I suppose we could say that you probably have your finger in some way in most anything that goes on in the county, really, with respect to business or manufacturing or development of new assets. There is currently a proposal to establish a North Fork Ambulance Health Service District with taxing power to fund the ambulance. And this would replace the current North Fork Ambulance Association, which is really a private entity, or and has been sort of informally supported by an ongoing begging, really, for donations to keep it going. I believe this probably will be on the next major ballot and so on. Are you, this would be, in a sense, an economic development item, if I may use that word, in the county. And so have you been involved in that, in pushing that? Are you for it? Do you think it's a good idea? And do you think it would be an improvement?
So I've only tangentially been involved in that particular conversation, providing some guidance and feedback to the organizers, just based on my former experience and former life and having some knowledge of some of the challenges that they face and the technicalities of what they have to do. Broadly to the issue of economic development is about bringing new business and new jobs to the county. But in order to attract new jobs and new business, you also have to make sure that you have the assets and the resources that make the county an attractive place for people, for employees, for people to want to live and choose to come here. And so I think anything that we can do to strengthen the services that we provide countywide is beneficial. That's true for recreation. That's true for healthcare, for schools and education, as well as the general services that the county itself offers. Anything we can do to improve those while being responsible with taxpayer dollars and efficient and effective is always a good thing, both for economic development and for the residents that are here already.
You were talking about the special group earlier, Elise, the coal and methane group. And there's some other groups. The commissioners have appointed members of our community in Delta County. There's now an oil and gas working group.
Yep.
And there's a CAFO, which is Concentrated Animal Feeding Operation Working Group. And these all came about through the master plan process.
Correct.
Could you talk a little bit about the purpose of these groups? How were they appointed? What power do these committees have? And what do the commissioners hope these committees can accomplish?
Happy to address that. So, and I have to give just a tiny bit of background to help explain them a little bit. So during the master plan process update itself, really the two biggest issues that kept coming up over and over and that really were dominating the conversation, which was making it challenging to talk about other things that we also needed to talk about, were the impact of concentrated animal feeding operations. As you know, there's a long history around the county related to chicken houses, and then oil and gas generally, not specific issues, but just oil and gas broadly and generally. And so as we were developing our initial set of goals and our initial vision for the master plan update, it became really clear that we needed to figure out a way to deal with these two issues. And it also was very obvious that the amount of emotion, the amount of opinion, the amount of community interest in those issues was really bigger than what the master plan process itself was designed to deal with. So pretty early on, we came up with the idea of forming these working groups with the idea that we would bring together a representative group of stakeholders for each side of the issue and ask that group to sit down with us and really figure out how to help us look at those two issues from the county's role and responsibilities as it relates to those two issues, the confined or concentrated animal feeding operation issues and oil and gas, and ultimately help us put together some recommendations that we could forward on to the Board of County Commissioners and the Planning Commission as necessary. So when we first conceived of the idea, it was, again, representatives from all sides coming together, sitting down. One of the challenges that we saw then and that I think I see even now as even a stronger issue than I maybe thought of it as 6 months ago when we came up with the idea is the lack of quality information out there, that there's so much information, it's really hard to sort through what information is the best information or the right information. And oftentimes the best information or right information is from your own perspective. We see this group now not only about helping the county figure out a path forward to figure out our role and our responsibilities as it relates to these two issues, but also an opportunity for community education and community dialogue. So what we've done to put these together, in April, we issued an announcement. We put it out in all of the channels that we have at our disposal. It was on our website. It was on the master plan website. We have a fairly significant email list that we blasted it out to, social media, the newspaper. I believe KVNF provided a little coverage as well and asked for interested parties to submit a letter that they wanted to participate. In early May, the Planning Commission reviewed the letters that we received and, along with staff, made recommendations as to who should be appointed to these two working groups. Our goal was to identify individuals that we believe, A, could be a good representative of the issue of the group that they self-identified with, and individuals that acknowledged that they understood that the idea was not to come forward and say what we can't do, but to come forward and help us figure out how we move forward, not to draw lines or pick sides. On both of these issues, concentrated animal feeding operations and oil and gas, the county has a certain level of jurisdiction that we get to make decisions, but we don't necessarily make all decisions. And so we want to make sure that in the area that we have the ability to make decisions, that we're making them in the most effective, efficient, fair and equitable way possible.
Right. It seems to me that those are two industries where you're probably meeting the most resistance in terms of growth. Your job is to look at what would improve our economy and create jobs and bring people here. But it seems like those are the two issues where people feel that it's going to conflict with other industries.
Yes.
Issues around land use, basically.
Yeah. Both of these working groups are tasked with helping us identify potential regulations that the county can then implement to begin addressing impacts, to begin addressing conflicts that exist. Within, again, within our jurisdiction. So when it comes to concentrated animal feeding operations, we have a lot more latitude as a local government from a land use standpoint. When it comes to oil and gas, we have very limited jurisdiction. Most of the major decision making is made at the state and federal level, but we do have some. And where we have jurisdiction, we want to make sure that we're being the most effective that we can be. We also have relationships, and we can leverage those relationships, and we want to make sure that we are leveraging those relationships in the most effective way. When it comes to the oil and gas working group, if you look at the history of the county with what is called local control in oil and gas, in the early 2000s, we were the leader in the state in local control. And as a result of that, we have really a very effective system. We have we're one of the only counties in the state whose local government designee operates in a monitoring role, not just a coordination role. And that makes us unique. And how do we continue to really be the leader in making sure that we're working to protect the resources of our county while allowing and supporting reasonable and safe and effective development of resources that we don't get to say no to? The question is, how do we ensure that it's done in a way that doesn't impact us negatively?
Mm-hmm. That being the case, that brings up an interesting point. There's sort of been a tradition of non-government regulation generally in the county and so on. So being that you said you were unique in the state in that respect, do you encounter a lot of opposition? Is there a lot of people that don't think you should be around?
My position or the county's regulatory environment in general?
All of it.
You know, I think that this county is really undergoing a cultural shift right now. I haven't heard a lot of opposition to the position that I hold. In fact, I've heard a lot of enthusiasm for the idea that the county is looking for ways to be business friendly, to bring positive economic growth to this county. And what we have just done with the master plan is also created a vision that represents, I really truly believe, the cross-section of our county and the variety of opinions. When it comes to our values as a county, we all pretty much want the same things. We want prosperity for our children. We want prosperity for ourselves. We want clean air, clean water. We want to protect the rural lifestyle that we all enjoy. But we also pretty collectively, and there is some disagreement here, believe that times are changing and we need to change a little bit too. We've heard that pretty consistently. I think the question is, how do we do that? And I think we're about to start having the question of how and that's where I think things
are
going
to get more
difficult.
But you have to admit that there was, in years past,
absolutely
a certain amount of resistance.
Absolutely. Yeah. There are certain ideas that we are talking about right now that, I don't know, even 5 years ago, 10 years ago, it created a lot of upset individuals. And I think there's still folks that aren't going to like some of the things we're talking about. Part of my job is to make sure that we're connecting with them and understanding what their concerns are and doing our best to address them. The best example is zoning. We are going to have a countywide conversation about whether or not it is time to zone Delta County. And I know
To zone Delta County, yes.
And I know that there are folks that really don't like that idea. And
there has been resistance over the years.
We've
talked about that on this program many times.
We're going to reach out to those folks as best we can to help us understand why and hopefully create a conversation that helps us evaluate the pros and the cons. And there certainly are pros and cons. As you know, when we were a county of 12,000 people or 15,000 or 20,000 people, maybe not having zoning was acceptable. We're a county of 30,000 people and growing.
Are we up to 30,000 now?
We're at 30,000 and anticipating that we'll be somewhere between 38,000 and 42,000 people in the next 30 years. And as more people move in here, the opportunity, if you want to look at it that way, for conflict grows. And we need a set of tools that we can use to manage that conflict. And zoning is one of those tools. There are certainly others, and we need to look at all options. And I do think that that's going to create some consternation, and we'll work our way through it with a lot of community dialogue.
Good. What areas of the county are seeing the most growth? Are there towns that are have a surprising number of people moving there?
You know, so part of the challenge with data is that it's not current. So you're usually looking a year to 2 years behind. Mm-hmm. We'll get some updated numbers from the state demographer's office this summer. So this might change very soon. But countywide, we're seeing growth. But I think we're seeing a little bit more in the North Fork area. Definitely seeing growth up in Cedar Edge. And we're seeing growth in Delta as well. There are parts of Delta, though, where we aren't seeing the same level happening. In conversations with the realtors around the region, North Fork is definitely seeing more activity, you know, definitely a growth in housing costs at a slightly faster pace. Cedar Edge is right on their tails. Delta's lagging a little behind, but not much. And it's some specific areas in the county that maybe haven't quite realized some of the growth in terms of housing activity that's happening, but they're not far behind. So I think it's pretty spread out fairly evenly, slightly more in the North Fork.
It seems like you have a couple of initiatives in Delta County right now that really focus on the entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And bringing the entrepreneur here. There's the Engage Initiative, which is a multifaceted initiative that supports and creates resources for innovative and entrepreneurial businesses, really, and with sort of a focus on food and culinary arts and agriculture and, as you mentioned earlier, energy. And then, of course, there's the broadband internet, which is supposed to also attract entrepreneurs. I'm wondering, though, if maybe there's too much, people feel there's too much focus on the entrepreneur, because while it's great to have people moving here and able to start small businesses, of course, these aren't the kinds of things that employ hundreds of people that are already live here and maybe looking for work.
Yeah, that's an excellent observation. And so, again, going to the theme of multifaceted diversity in your approach, programs and initiatives like Engage are definitely about helping that particular group of individuals, both that are already here. We have a pretty strong cottage industry already existing in this county, and there are a lot of existing creative folks already doing great things. So it is as much about supporting folks that are already here trying to do something as it is creating the ecosystem that can help attract people to come in. So I think it goes both ways. But that is on the one side of the spectrum. And on the other side of the spectrum, from an economic development standpoint, is the idea that you go out there and you recruit in some major company that brings with them hundreds of jobs or dozens of jobs, whatever the number may be. That's really hard to do. We are one of, you know, thousands of communities that are trying to attract and bring other companies in here to start up or to bring their jobs here. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't be doing it. And so one of the things that my job focuses on is that other end of the spectrum too. And that's where our partnership with DSED comes into play. They're focused on that as well. And a lot of that is patience and persistence. We have a couple of companies that we've been talking to and working with over the last probably decade. And we're starting to see the fruits of that labor. Colorado Stone Quarries has located to Delta County. They are located just south of the city of Delta along the highway. They are going to be manufacturing marble-based products out of Delta County. That is a conversation that has been happening for nearly a decade between various leaders across this county. And they finally pulled the trigger and moved here. And that's great. That's great for us. It's going to bring those kinds of jobs you are talking about. The challenge with that kind of economic development is that the reward is often very disconnected from the effort because it takes so long. So it can sometimes be hard to see. And we need to do a good job of telling the stories like that so that people do understand that the full spectrum of of effort is happening.
You anticipated my next question. Actually, you've partially answered it, really, but I'll throw it out in a more general way. What would you say is your next major economic development project or plan for Delta County? Now, you just mentioned the marble thing, and that's a perfect example. Are there others?
Yeah, we've got a couple other companies that we're talking to. And again, I think the conversations that are just starting now, it might take several years before those efforts come to fruition. I think the biggest thing we're working on now is starting to identify additional projects that we can work on that can help improve our asset base so that we have the ability to go to those companies and really show them an amazing portfolio. One of the challenges that we have in the county that is a long-term issue that needs to be solved is ensuring access to the rail for private industry. How do we come together and ensure that there is access to the ability to ship freight on the rail line? It's a tremendous asset in our county. It's probably underutilized by most industrial sectors.
Rather than trucking.
So I think that's a conversation that people will start hearing about.
Interesting.
DSED has been spinning that conversation for a few months now. It's coming up at the county level. I think you'll start to see more conversation around how do we work to improve access to rail for private industry within
the county. Do you get cooperation from the railroad people on that?
We're going to be reaching out to them, I think. That's a long-term conversation. It's a long-term project and prospect to be thinking like that. Housing is another issue that is kind of crept up on us. It 5 years ago, we weren't talking about a housing issue because we had foreclosures happening and we had a down housing market. And that kind of flipped overnight. And you see the increasing cost of housing. It's certainly nothing like what's happening on the Front Range, but I think we're starting to see our fair share of the spillover of a statewide housing crunch. And, hearing about families not being able to find rentals, hearing about housing being on the market, house going up for sale and being under contract in a very short period
of
time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that is a flip that has happened. And I think it's kind of caught us by surprise. And one of the things that is not happening countywide are housing starts. A developer coming in and beginning to build speculative starter homes, for example. And that's something we need to see starting to happen so that as the pinch on housing happens, we have new stock available.
Is that part of the housing industry welcome here, would you say? I sort of have a feeling that in the past it wasn't, that along with sort of a resistance to growth and so on, that was not a welcome type of construction. But is that more acceptable now, would you say?
Well, I'm sure that there are people that disagree with me, but I think it's a critical part of becoming a healthy community.
Okay.
So that we have housing for new families, for young families, so that we have housing options for seniors that no longer want to live in their, several thousand square foot home and want to downsize but remain within the community. It's a critical thing that we need. And if we want to talk about bringing in jobs, we have to have housing for those employees.
And affordable housing.
Yeah, absolutely. We need the full spectrum of housing. If we don't, then we end up being a bedroom community to other communities, and that creates so many other challenges from, transportation and even healthcare and education and putting strain and stress on families and individuals. So I guess my theme for the day today is being a complete community means having a little bit of all of that, but figuring out how to do it in a way that we are protecting what makes us a unique community. And I think we can do that, and it's time for us to really start thinking that way.
I think you've summarized our conversation right there in your last remarks. And we've been speaking here with Elise Ackerman Castleberry, the director of the Community Economic Development Group. And there's nothing final or definitive about what we've said today. It's certainly a developing, mobile, constantly changing thing, and I'm sure we'll be back talking to you perhaps many times in the both near and more distant future. And again, we thank you for coming up today and sharing your great wealth of information and knowledge with us.
Thanks for having me.
For KVNF, I'm Felix Belmont, and I'm sure I speak also for Allie Lightfoot.
Yes, thank you.